Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson from NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
Since you're the guy from NPR Music, I'm going to put you on the task of actually talking a little bit about who won the Grammys.
It was a big year for slow-moving white people.
Yeah.
Beck won Album of the Year for Morning Phase, which is a very nice, very pretty record. It was considered a fairly shocking upset of both another slow-moving white person, Sam Smith.
It's nothing against necessarily any of these musicians, some of whom make perfectly good music.
Right. It's not to dismiss anyone, but generally Album of the Year was expected to go to one of two records. It was either going to be Sam Smith, who's a young soul balladeer, one of the first out gay singers to win.
And he talked about that in his acceptance speech for something else.
You know, somebody who has been out since the beginning of his career, that was certainly a milestone, but the music is very, very safe.
Yeah.
I prefer the Beck record to the Sam Smith record, but the Sam Smith record had a lot more commercial currency. Mm-hmm. The Beyoncé record had much more cultural currency.
Yeah, and the Beyoncé record also has a nice quality of, you know, she was experimenting with various, like, there's little bits of tape from earlier in her life, and she was kind of playing around with building that as a
document. An album. That is an album.
Right. That's what I'm trying to
say. And I think that the Beck record has a unified sound and is beautifully made and thematically holds together in terms of sound. But the Beyoncé record is an event, and it came out late in 2013, which for the Grammys is actually relatively recent.
Yeah.
It took a whole year to unpack that record. I love different songs at different times. It is a true album. I think it should have won. And as a side note, the Grammys are a little like the Oscars from a standpoint of almost always rewarding white people.
Yeah.
The last 10 Album of the Year winners, the one black person is Herbie Hancock, performing an album of Joni Mitchell covers.
Yeah.
Awards-wise, the major prizes felt very safe. I mean, it's the Grammys.
Yeah.
Very anticlimactic. There were, in some of the smaller, less high-profile categories, some interesting wins and some very satisfying ones. I was very happy to see St. Vincent win Best Alternative Album. I'm a Weird Al partisan. Weird Al won Comedy Record. Roseanne Cash put out a nice record that won 3 Grammys. Pentatonix, for my a cappella nerd
friend,
Linda Holmes. Pentatonix won a Grammy. Pentatonix Stealth, one of the best-selling artists in music right now.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar finally won a couple of Grammys.
Oh, yeah. You know, we talked last year when the whole Kendrick Lamar, Macklemore thing happened at the Grammys last year.
And did I not predict?
Stephen, you basically said this is going to pay off for him just fine. He's going to win plenty of Grammys.
They'll basically have to give him all the Grammys going forward, a la Metallica.
Right.
When Metallica lost to Jethro Tull, they kept giving Metallica
Which is
Grammys.
Not to say that these are not deserved. It's just to say predicted at the time that he was going to do fine Grammy-wise in the future.
I often say of the Grammys that the Grammys are the only major awards show that has a way of actually hurting careers.
Yeah.
That I don't feel like the Oscars generally hurt careers. The Emmys certainly don't hurt careers. I don't think the Tonys hurt careers. But the Grammys can be cruel with their kindness in ways that other awards shows aren't. And the biggest winner, it ends up firing up this fatigue engine.
Yeah.
They have a way. And I felt like one of the big winners last night was Iggy Azalea for winning nothing.
For Beck to win Album of the Year is kind of the moment when the establishment says, we accept Beck as an establishment artist.
Right.
Which is not necessarily what Beck originally was going for.
Right.
So outside of the actual awards themselves,
Of which there were 9 in the telecast, there were 23 performances. We should probably mention some of the 23 performances.
Yeah. So the performances, to me, followed the evening's theme of slow music for the most part. Some very stirring. I thought the Beyoncé performance at the end and the Common and John Legend performance of the song from Selma, good performances. The whole thing was so heavy. That Adam Levine and Gwen Stefani duet.
I felt like I was forgetting that performance as I was watching it.
The super morose version of Katy Perry.
Well, I remember you had a line about Beyoncé once where you describing the institutional Beyoncé.
Yeah.
This very serious version of Beyoncé. Yeah. There was a lot of the institutional versions of, there was the institutional Katy Perry. It was at least attempted. I said last night on Twitter, and you and I live tweeted the event, that I had this theory that the veteran performers stood out in part because they were trying to show that they still had energy,
yeah.
whereas the young performers tended to be very stultifying because they were trying to prove they could be serious.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know who put on a lively performance last night? ELO. You know, the show kicked off with AC/DC. Madonna came out as,
yeah.
and Madonna as somebody who's been in music for 30 years, she's doing a Madonna bit. You know, there are dancers and horns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff with Verve was older performers. And I thought it was kind of the metaphor of the night was that Lady Gaga was singing and her performance had to be livened up by the presence of Tony Bennett.
When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
I'm in heaven.
In heaven.
And the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
No, it's true. And I just felt like the whole thing was so... I wanted more joy.
There were a few jolts here and there. And in 23 performances, you're going to have some jolts. And I thought late in the telecast, they did that whole thing with Sia and the Sia song Chandelier. And Sia is, to me, a very, very interesting artist. There's a lot of creative risk being taken. She battles an enormous amount of anxiety in terms of performance and is somebody who is, whether you think every bit of it is successful or not, somebody who is going out there and trying to make art and trying to make serious art.
And doing it in a kind of a distinctive way in this case.
Yeah. And last night, the performance was sort of almost more of a theater piece.
Well, it's very similar in theme to some of the videos
right.
that she's been doing. And so you had the dance performed by Maddie Ziegler, who is the girl from Dance Moms, who a lot of people know from Dance Moms, who was in the Chandelier video, and then dancing the adult version of that character. You know, a lot of people sat there and said, boy, that lady looks a lot like Kristen Wiig. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait,
that lady is Kristen Wiig.
And it was Kristen Wiig, a completely serious dance performance from the two of them. And just... interesting.
What it had was an element of creative risk taking.
And creative energy, if not joy.
Not joy. But and that song was nominated for Song of the Year. It was nominated for Record of the Year. And they had that show up just before they gave out one of those awards.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the nominees are blah, 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 Sia. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's Sia. Yeah. Then the winner is Sam Smith.
Sam Smith.
And
yeah.
so it felt like such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out that last night you saw several echoes of kind of racial politics of the last year. It's very interesting that you point out the prevalence of white performers in the winners of the Grammys because you had a direct mention from Prince of Black Lives Matter, that kind of #movement. In addition, there were visual references, or at least what people interpreted as visual references, to the Hands Up, Don't Shoot thing in both the Beyoncé performance, that choreography, and also the Pharrell performance, in which he came up with another version of Happy, so that song can never go away. I think there can be a lot of good and moving content in an awards show with performances from great artists, but to me, it wasn't balanced out. Gosh, it needed some joy.
And I tend to feel this way at the Grammys a lot because it's a fairly slow-moving ceremony, and because you're getting performance after performance after performance, you know, you bring out Kanye West, and you have Kanye West kind of singing a heavily auto-tuned ballad, and it's the Kanye West, singer instead of Kanye West, rapper, and I have about the same appetite for Kanye West singing that I do for Quentin Tarantino acting.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
And
you
want
to see what you think you like best about the person.
Right.
Yeah, I think we can agree this is a Grammy Awards show that could have used a little tiny bit of Super Bowl halftime show.
That's really how I felt.
All right.
One singer was ever held aloft by a wire.
Yeah, it's true. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or on your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.